watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of Woe.
Is Hester a gentle lover? Yes, no. Today
I
on this
to
presentation...
I need you to say whoa!
Whoa!
There we go. Thank you.
There it is.
And no, we are skipping over the bant topic that we did in our little pre-show unrecorded discussion. I hope that never, ever is actually captured and leaked. I think we have successfully turned ourselves off from ever doing bant topics with the discussion we just had. But
I had a good answer. I had a good answer.
You did.
Yeah, but right, Dan listen, stole everyone, yours.
Yes.
No, I had a everyone, backup second answer, but go ahead.
This is going to be audio poison, so let's just, I hope that everyone enjoyed, I hope our audience enjoyed the last few weeks of these sort of solo sessions. I don't know that they'll be a regular thing, but who knows, maybe. I mean, I think y'all enjoyed them. I enjoyed, you know, recording them with you.
Yeah.
But to kick off this episode, just a little preview, we're going to do a little more downtime, maybe bring the party back together. We might be a little split up, but I don't know. So at this point, we actually haven't, I mean, Marcy's episode hasn't been published yet, so there's at least a third of the downtime that the other two are not aware of.
I purposely did not listen to Cyril's, so I didn't spoil it.
Well, there you go. So it's going to be fun to, I don't know, see how that all goes. I'm not a real stickler about that. Maybe I should be for this campaign, but... for the most part, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff together, so I don't want to do too much one-on-one, and, you know, that's sort of closed sessions, but I'm fine if that's if characters choose to impose that upon themselves. But for this episode, we're actually going to start with something that I haven't done for a little while, which is like a big dramatic scene. So we're going to cut to a nice, gentle, sunny morning. Sun breaking over Carefor. It's a little hazy this Wednesday morning, and while nothing physically has changed in Carefor, there is a palpable difference settling in on everyone as they run their morning routines. We see Gretchen Gidry, wife of Pastor Gidry, stepping into the Carefor Medical Center with her basket of baked goods. Her usual gentle smile is tinged with just the slightest shade of anxiety, and her conversation with Emily Thompson, the receptionist, is terse, though Emily takes a blueberry muffin, as is her usual. We've got a morning meeting at the Carefor Candy Company flagship store, and it's a charged atmosphere as the manager and two employees are dusting off their holiday rush handbooks a few months early. Corporate guidance this morning said to expect foot traffic to triple at a minimum. In the police station, Detective Virgil Marr sets his coffee down and pulls up his email. We see a subject line titled, Formal Complaint Filing. He begins typing as other officers begin filing their way in. And we see a man in his early 40s wearing khaki cargo shorts, long white tube socks, New Balance sneakers, and a black shirt with some sort of logo on it. He's got a globe with some text, and his long hair is drawn back into a greasy ponytail. We see him pulling out a wheeled bag from his obviously rental car trunk, along with a leather laptop bag. He fumbles as he draws both these out. Before successfully landing the wheels on the ground and putting the laptop bag handle over his shoulder. He huffs as he closes the trunks and makes his way to check in at the local hotel. And in New Orleans, there's a small but noticeable increase in incoming flights. Avis, Hertz, Enterprise, and Dollar Car all notice an unexpected bump in vehicle reservations for the upcoming weekend. The veil over Carrefour has fallen, and a city that had been invisible to so much of the country for so long is now quite literally on the map. So.
Oh, yeah.
We, to sort of backtrack just a little bit, y'all had gotten a call late Tuesday night, maybe early Wednesday, from WCLA asking if you would be on their exclusive interview. And they said, we can film these interviews and we can get this pushed out Wednesday night, an exclusive for WCLA. And y'all were able to do that. And so that's going to happen Wednesday night. They're actually broadcasting this and hoping that, you know, this thing will get sort of relayed on national TV, as some of those type of things do. But we're going to move to Thursday. Now, on Thursday, let me go over my notes, because just making sure. I know Thursday, Joel had work, and after work, he had headed to the Ethereal Essence Emporium. Cyril is down at the Florizon Manor. And Marcy, I don't think we had discussed exactly what Marcy was up to. So I'm going to leave it up to y'all. Where do you want to start first? Marcy is, Marcy was the only one who didn't actually like do a downtime activity. Yeah. But she was planning on Friday night going with the Coven. So we can roll into that. But I think it kind of makes most sense to resolve Joel's scenes first. So... Tyler, you down for that?
I'm always down.
Because the last thing that Luna Blackwood had said to you as she, as you had introduced her, is that one of the keys to working these types of things was to first cleanse the inner vessel. And I think I put a cool voice mod on that one when the episode dropped. So she invites you sort of back, right, behind the... You had noticed a little more, you know, foot traffic in her store. And she invites you back to behind the counter where you had initially seen her working. She brought you to this room sort of off to the side behind the counter where you had seen her working in the crystal ball, where she had at least claimed to speak with Clementine. And she says the first basic magical practice, this is the base thing for everyone, is just developing the ability to focus and control your focus. Today, it's a hard thing for most people to do. You know, we've got cell phones where you can play like cool games like Snake and Solitaire. And those are like the most addictive things known to man. So being able to pay attention and focus your attention is basically, it really is magic. And she's like, what I want you to do, and this is just going to be sort of your prep for today, is I want you to spend 10 uninterrupted minutes looking into this ball. Now, you're not trying to see anything. You're just trying to keep your attention there. And anytime your attention wanders, you just bring it right back. Okay?
Like meditating.
Yeah. Yeah. Like meditating.
Oh, easy.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine. If you think so. And she... steps back out to handle some of the customers and that sort of thing. And I don't know if you can set a timer on your phone or just start focusing, but let's go ahead and like get you to roll for this.
Yeah, he'll grab a chair that's around him or, you know, something and pop a squat, pull up a seat, and he will begin looking directly towards that center.
This orb.
All right. So I want you to roll... I want you to roll power.
Okie dokie. Just straight pow, huh?
Yeah, we're going to roll pow.
All right. Works for me. I got a 45 under 70.
Okay. So for the first minute, you're doing pretty well. And I don't know if you're like, have you guys meditated before?
Yeah, I do it actually quite a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to like get distracted and like have your thing focused and like, you know, the ability to focus on your breath and that sort of stuff and bring it back. So 45 under 70, I think what that represents is that you're doing pretty well for the first like minute, 2 minutes. But as with everyone, you know, your focus starts to wander. And that's just totally normal. But with the success, you bring it right back to, again, looking at this crystal ball. And as you look at this crystal ball, like, you know, you see sort of your reflection in it. I think you're trying to not look directly at your reflection. I don't know. Would you think Joel would look at himself to focus or just try to like see through himself?
Joel is a very vain and a very overly self-indulging, but I don't see him looking at himself in the mirror and like focusing that way. I think there's probably either like some minor imperfection or something like that kind of towards the center of it, and that's his focus point, and that's what he's trying to focus on and ignore, you know, the reflection. I kind of picture, like, for me, I do something similar when I meditate, is I just pick a point. Like, there's a specific piece of my wall that's missing a single piece of paint, and I just focus on that, and I realize I catch myself staring through it and not at it when I'm focusing. And I think that's how Joel works, too, is he catches himself, like, staring past the orb and not into it.
Okay, so as you stare past the orb after the first minute and a half, when you have your source... I mean, you know, maybe a little wanderings here and there, but it's really about, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes in when you, like, notice that your mind has wandered from this little imperfection. And you bring your vision back, you still your breathing, you get that focus, and as you do, you realize that you begin to see something in the orb, and you see someone in the orb, and specifically you see Ivy Winchester in the orb. And it's just like her face, you know, with her hair framing her face. What does she look like?
That's a good question. What does she look like? I think she is probably a little bit taller than Joel. So, you know, she's probably, you know, 5'9", 5'10", something like that. And she is just very laid back. She wears just cut off jeans and a t-shirt. She has her hair up in a messy bun, kind of dark brown, almost black in tone. And I think the thing that he catches himself like staring into the most about her, and like what he fell in love with her the most over, is her eyes are like that kind of ambery yellow brown with like the speckles of the green in it. And I think that's the first thing he notices every time that he sees her.
Yeah, so you see her... And you recognize, like, her kind of vague outlines of her apartment. And she is walking and then appears to, like, sit down. And you're not, like, head on. You're almost looking at, like, maybe from, you know, 5 feet in front of her and slightly to the left or right. Hard to say. It's a little disorienting as you stare. And, yeah, you know, you just think about her eyes and, like, oh yeah, those eyes that you fell in love with. And as she like kind of stares and looks at the wall, there's just this flash of darkness that goes over her eyes where her eyes become momentarily black. And when that happens, it like it's almost like she makes eye contact with you as you're doing this. Go ahead and roll sanity.
Okay. Success, 27 under 53.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good, considering... how that went earlier. Maybe you're a little... Yeah.
As if I really was like, oh, not here too, huh?
Yeah. But, yeah, you just... You kind of shake it off as you watch this. And before long, you know, the image kind of fades out. And you realize that someone is shaking your shoulder. And Luna says, hey, how's it going?
I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. You've been here for, like... 35 minutes now?
Oh, shit. And he looks at his phone and sees that the alarm has been snoozed like 5 times.
Yeah, I'd say, well, it's like the alarm didn't even get set, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, everything's doing good. I think I saw something or did something in the ball.
she gives you an incredibly skeptical look when you say that. And she's like, okay, what'd you think you saw?
So I was kind of meditating, you know, just focusing on it. And I kind of caught myself, you know, trailing off. I brought myself back in and I began to see, are you familiar with Ivy? Band, no, used to be part of a band with her. She's my ex.
I think Luna would have to be aware of who she was. Yeah.
I started seeing her apartment, but like, it was weird. I saw her and where she lives, but like, you know, when you take a picture and the camera mirrors it and everything feels just a little off.
Yeah.
I saw that. And as I noticed her and I realized it was her, I started thinking about her face and her eyes and saw that kind of darkness in her eyes. And that's when you jolted me out.
She's like, maybe I misunderestimated your existing capabilities. That's pretty advanced stuff, Joel. Although I'm a little worried that if you are actually scrying on people, that you're not taking any protection cautions. You aren't familiar with, you know, basic, you know, etheric protections that you do just so, you know, you don't reveal the fact that you've been scrying on people, or you don't open yourself up to, you know, any sort of etheric travelers or anything.
Wait,
like that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Indulge me. Scry.
You scry, you know, use a mirror to, or, you know, looking glass to view someone from far away.
Oh, so that was actually Ivy and not like a amalgam shadow magic crystal ball thing.
Joel, do you really want to get into the philosophy of metaphysics right now?
No, I'm not that smart.
Okay. Basically, we don't know. Right, people who do it, we don't actually know. They've tried to some Russians were doing some testing for remote viewing and that sort of thing, but I don't know if that's any of that's real, or, you know, are we able to separate our viewing of the thing from the experience of it itself, you know, uncertainty principle, all that sort of advanced physics. I don't know, but the point is, Joel, most people, it takes months for them to be able to do that. But you were able to do that first time. So, good job, I guess. I have a book for you to study then. And she rifles through some of her back matter, and she hands you a little book, and it's called Voyages in the Astral Plane, and it has no author listed on the cover or back. She says, this is... think of it like reading the expedition reports of Shackelford, right? For if you were going to prep to go to Antarctica, you'd want to read about other people who had been there and sort of get an idea of what they did. This is that.
Does it look like a newer book or does it look old?
It looks like, actually, I don't know if you've ever bought a book from like a small batch online bookseller where the cover is like really sort of plasticky almost.
Oh yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And like the it's a very generic typeface, and the paper doesn't seem like great quality.
Yeah. It kind of feels like it's written on like parchment paper. It's like super thin and it feels like it's going to break all the time.
Yeah. I mean, parchment paper, almost like printer paper, right? That was like cut down to this size.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. You wouldn't be surprised to know that, like, they just printed it on printer paper and, like, kind of cut it down the center and then bound that.
Stapled it.
Yeah. Very basic binding. But she's like, okay. Listen, there's only so much you can do while you're here. But take this home and read through it, study it, and you can practice. You don't have to have a crystal ball to practice, but... definitely read this all before. And we're going to go ahead and you are going to get 1d6 unnatural.
Oh, okay. Assume you want me to roll that?
Yeah, go ahead. Two. All right. Well, your max sanity has dropped by two, and you get 2 points in unnatural.
My max or my current sanity?
Your max.
Okay, so my maximum is now 97 forever, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Hang on. Yeah. I just have one more question. Before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very, very busy. No, go ahead.
Good. What was that light thing you did earlier, just before you had me come in here?
Light thing? Sorry, what do you mean?
Like, your voice, it changed, and you seemed like you looked through me. Not like in a, like, it wasn't here way, but like you peered into me. That would, no?
She says, Joel, I don't know what to tell you. I've had years of this sort of study, so there's a million things that could be.
But you didn't do it on purpose.
Well, I have built up my whole life practicing magic generally, but I didn't do some specific thing just talking to you, no.
Right. Okay. Thanks. And he'll stand up and awkwardly reach his fist out for like a fist bump as like a thanks and a goodbye. And then
she puts her hand over your fist and is like, thanks for coming by, Joel.
yeah, thanks. And he'll just leave.
All right, Mark. What do we want to do with Cyril? Last I remember, he was at the Florizon Manor, right?
Yep. Last he was at Florizon, and I think him and Glomus were going to the field.
That's right. Glomus warned you that it would be a little bit. So do you want to give him a ride?
Yeah, he was going to change into something more suitable, and then we were going to get in my pickup truck and drive as close as we could to the field.
Glomus changes after he's set up some of the implements and crystals and powders and all sorts of things in this giant magic circle. He says,
okay, I will take this form now. Please do not look, as this process can be very disturbing.
And I don't know if you look away or if you keep watching, but he sort of shrinks down and like his flesh sort of gets tucked back into him, and he slowly becomes more and more human-like, even to the point of like, you know, just like being fully naked. And then he heads around the corner and grabs some clothes that he had stashed that are specifically not any of Antoine's clothes.
Right.
But it's sort of like a tweed jacket, you know, a very light linen shirt he actually puts on a tie. He's got some very nice sort of cottony pants. He says, sort of accent, should I go with this guy? I'm just going to use my voice. He says, okay, well, I think this is much better, and be happy to lead you to the field. Again, a little bit of a drive, but let's hop on in, shall we?
Let's go.
So I recommend you drive.
Yeah, no, I'll be driving on this one, I think. Yep. Well, let's go on. Well, you got to lead the way.
He gets in and he tells you some rough like mile markers and stuff. Maybe like pulls a map out of the glove box and it's like, I think it's this one. I'll recognize it when I get there. But y'all begin driving there. Go ahead and make a drive roll just to see how long, and this will be fun to see like how well does he remember.
And I fumble. 88 over 20.
Oh boy.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez.
Well, I'm a fan of failing forward, so rather than turning this fumble into like you get stuck in the mud for 2 hours, I think what happens is just he keeps getting distracted, kind of like talking to you, trying to make small talk.
Sure.
I think it's a little disturbing because he knows so much about you. Mm-hmm. that he is able to ask like extremely penetrating questions.
Right.
You're just like, wow, that is, I've only known you for like 4 hours total. You know, like
yeah.
in terms of how we acted, maybe he's asking like weird questions about your business. Like, I don't know if you have any like clients that, yeah, maybe he's just like,
he's like asking
weird about your client list.
Yeah. Like boudoir photo shoots kind of thing, or like what I do with all the chemicals that I use for stuff like that. Yeah. He's yeah.
Yes. And so it takes you a little while longer than maybe you intended. And he keeps his like, I think it's this one. Oh, no. Sorry. We need to go north a mile. And then we'll. And finally, after far too long and far too uncomfortable a car ride, he points out and says, oh, this is the field.
All right. And paint me a word picture, Dan. What do I see here?
You see. You see a big sort of. Not too swampy, mostly brown field that looks like maybe like a few days ago it was kind of waterlogged, but it has begun to dry out. There's a lot of cypress trees. I mean, like mostly cypress, a few oak and, you know, southern pine. But the cypress trees are the vast majority. And there's, I mean, as you step out onto the, you know, step out of the dirt road, you've pulled a little bit over to the side. There's no fence around this sort of plot of land. And Glomus steps out and begins walking. And he's like, let me show you exactly where I found the body. And, I don't know, you can make an expansion there, or, we can, you know, sort of walk the perimeter or. Whatever you
want.
Why
don't you just take me right to where you found the body, Glomus?
Okay. And he walks in through past some trees, and it's not too far off the road, but you know it's actually pretty well shielded from the road. This sort of copse of cypress trees. It seemed like maybe a little too densely planted for cypress trees. I don't know if you have like an. I don't know if you have like a lore trees or,
but I do weirdly.
Yeah. Oh, a knowledge nature.
knowledge nature. But, yeah. Maybe survival, science, like a survival
science arboretum. Yeah. Survival. Maybe just, yeah.
I'm trying to see survival. If there's anything else that I could leverage. Probably
or just like a general search.
Let's do search. There we go. And success 18 under 53.
Yeah. So, I think as you're looking at this, you're like, well, okay, whether or not these trees were planted here specifically, hard to say. But if you wanted to do something sketchy, doing it behind this group of trees, you can't be seen from the road. And then as you kind of like do a 360 behind these trees, I mean, there's no real other place, you know, there's no roads sure. close, there's no fences. I mean, this is pretty much BFE, right?
Right.
So this is shockingly, for not being that far off the road, it's a shockingly well hidden,
very secluded. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Which I don't know if you've ever like gone 100 yards off the road in any small town, you probably realize yeah. like, oh yeah, like you could do a lot of weird stuff here.
You could do a lot of weird things for sure. Yeah. Okay. So do we get to the spot where the body was laid out?
Yes, yes, he points exactly to it, and he says, here's where I found him. I know, sorry, he's not doing this. Here's where I found the body, and I took his heart out and then ate it, and I kind of went off to the side to eat it. I don't like to eat in front of the body that I just, you know, got it from. It feels a little, I don't know, I get the heebie-jeebies.
Interesting. All right. And so it was laying here in this copse of trees.
Yep.
Or was it out in the field? It was just laying right here.
Yep. It was just right here.
Interesting. Can I do a search of that area?
Yeah, you can make a more like broad search.
More
in depth. I don't know if you have like a criminology or
I do.
Anything like more specific that you'd wanted would give you more, I think, than a search.
Let me do criminology. Okay. See if I can't figure something else out. Yep, success 42 under 54.
Okay, so as you are as you are like walking around this, maybe with almost your sort of military eye, I think this is perfect, is that as you go around, like, you realize that, you know, there's a lot of interesting coincidences in this specific area. You notice, you start counting the trees, and there's exactly 16 trees that, you know, are planted, and it's sort of, they're not evenly spaced, but they're grouped in groups of four, right? And as you sort of look at this, it becomes more apparent that there is a general, like, you kind of think about it, you think about it from like a military perspective, where you would be like, oh, well, let me think about how this would look from the air. And as you do, like, you realize that this is almost exactly a square of these trees, but it's not something, you know, the way that they're sort of offset from each other, it's hard to tell that like on the ground, but as you sort of imagine, you know, coming from the air, you realize that no, this is almost exactly like a square, right?
Interesting. So that's like a four on each side?
Yeah, yeah. And it's not like, they're not like evenly spaced.
Sure. But
it would be almost impossible for this to just be a coincidence. And as you're looking, you realize that within this square, you know, we've got these sort of, you know, things that are beginning to dry up. But there's actually like a general trend within the square of like almost like a V inside the square, where let's just assume that the square was north-south, right? Four trees across, four trees down.
Sure.
Imagine that you're looking, again, in a map north-south. It's almost like in the northeast corner to the south center back to the northwest corner. There's like a V. And then if you look, there's like another V from the southwest corner to the center north to the southeast corner.
Okay, so like intersecting Vs.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so there's, how is that delineated? How is the Vs delineated?
It's a little bit of a change in grass, but then it's almost like mud cracks as well. And it's like their mud cracks are happening along this specific, you know, series of angles. And so you put yourself in the center of this copse of trees, in the center of these intersecting Vs. And as you look around, I mean, you kind of feel like a little bit of energy, like a little pulse of energy. And I think you are drawn like to the ground, and maybe you like search, you know, like move across some leaves or sticks, or, you know, pull up a little dirt. And with your successful search and successful criminology, I'm not going to make you roll again. You pull up a weird bit of metal, like a kind of iridescent, almost like oil slick looking metal, that has apparently a very sharp edge because you cut yourself on it just as you pick it up.
Oh my. Okay.
Just so one. Just give yourself like 1 point of damage.
Okay. So like an ear, like a pearlescent kind of metal. How big?
Yeah, and it's about the size of a credit card. It doesn't have like a handle on it. It's just like, not like exactly rectangularly shaped. It's just got like, one sharp side.
Okay.
It looks holdable, but not comfortably.
Does it look old or does it look?
No, it's not rusted. It doesn't look new. It's not like, you know, it could have come off the assembly line, you know, today, but it could have come off 15 years ago. It's kind of light for metal, you think? It's not steel.
Does it like fit in my hand? Like, can I hold it? Is there like a way to like hold it so that the sharp side is like a cutting instrument?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could.
It would be uncomfortable, does it feel like that's possible. Does it feel like that's the purpose of it?
I think it would be hard to derive a purpose of it.
Okay.
Just looking at it.
Sure, sure. Well, I will show that to Glomus, and I'll be like, hey, Glomus, come here now. Did you notice?
Hey, what's that?
Did you notice what was standing in the middle of? Come here. Come here, stand by me.
He stands right in the middle, and he's like, Yeah, that's interesting. That's a
feels different here, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, do you feel invigorated? Do you feel stronger magically?
No.
Did you notice this when you were eating the heart?
I didn't. This feels like the echoes of something. But again, I didn't stand over the body. I just grabbed the heart and then later came back to retrieve it. But this is odd.
Yeah. And I think, Cyril pulls out like a pen or something and like a scratch piece of paper and starts sketching out the V. And he's like, have you ever seen a symbol like this before, Glomus? This feels very intentional.
I can't say that I have. You're right. I mean, I don't think that is unintentional, but I couldn't say what its purpose was, or it's unknown to me.
Interesting. All right. Well, something I'll maybe have Mossy look into. She's good at that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I think that Cyril, never being without a camera, will take photos of this area and get all that stuff squared away.
Okay.
Yeah. And then once he does that, I think I've seen all I can see out here. He will take the piece of metal. He'll show that to Glomus if Glomus has any insight as to what that is.
He holds it up and says, well, I don't know. I could run some tests on it, but honestly, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll hold on to it.
If this is something arcane, I don't know. It's something that I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah, it feels very runic. Like, it feels very old, like cryptograms or whatever they used to call pictograms. I don't quite know what's going on there, but I'll see if Mossy can't look into it. She's good at that kind of thing. And then he kind of looks around the field and at the copse of trees, and he's just like, yes. Good old cypress trees have so much symbolism. Cypress trees just... Some cultures believe that they're mourning trees, that they're trees for sadness. I think some sadness has been done here. And he just kind of takes in a deep breath. And then he's like, well, thank you for bringing me here, Glomus. I appreciate it. I think we learned a bit.
Well, yeah. I know it doesn't give you all the answers, but hopefully it gets you better questions.
Yeah, it does. And then he will start walking back to his truck.
All right.
He leaves Glomus in the field.
Yeah.
get your own ride.
Glomus is like, hey man, I gotta take a pisser real quick. I gotta go take a leak.
And then he does the door trick with him too. Whoa.
hey, don't make me turn into a ghoul.
Oh now, come on now.
I absolutely can't keep up with this.
Just get in, it's fine. Whoa.
I'm getting mighty hungry. That's a big old force. Sounding heart you got in your chest there, kid.
Just get in. Why are you taking so long?
He turns his whole head.
Come on, Dennis Rodman. Get in.
He turns his whole head into the ghoul head and he says,
stop doing that.
I'm sorry. I'm just messing with you.
Oh, man. That was good. All right. So, Noah, Marcy, let's go to Friday night. It is 8:45, and
Marcy probably just wrapped up that game and is driving home.
So I think that actually took that was Thursday, right? That you went and did that.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry.
Yeah. So this is the next day, and you have been invited to the quarterly coven meeting. What do you want from this coven meeting? I guess because you've been invited, but also like as your handler, I'm curious. You know. You want to do some more research, right?
Yeah, that's basically what this is Marcy just wants to like sit in and listen and see if this is the type of thing that she thinks she needs to do.
Okay.
So it's mostly just Marcy wants to, like, seeks an understanding.
Okay. All right. So you pull up to the mall, I guess, text.
Text Evelyn.
Text Luna. Sorry,
Luna.
Evelyn?
Sorry. What? Well, I don't know. I've been playing a lot of a game where one of the wizards, their name is Evelyn, and for some reason, I guess the wires got crossed.
All right. Well, you pull up and you text her. She lets you in the back entrance, and she says, "Hey, thanks for coming. We're really glad to have you." And it's actually, I think we're in the. So essentially, she has moved some stuff in the back of her, store, sort of where you walk by for some of the more like ceremonial magic stuff, the athames and the crystals and. That sort of stuff. She's moved some of the tables to the side and has turned it into like, a bunch more chairs sort of set up. In three sets of three rows, and there's a little like chair at the front, and you get there, and there's like maybe there's probably 11 people with her and you included. I'm not gonna name them all, but notably. Notably, you recognize Clementine. You also recognize Lila from the library. And you also recognize... I don't know if you recognize her. Have I mentioned? I don't know if you recognize her. Yeah, I don't know. So there's a handful of other people.
Okay.
So you recognize a couple people, but overall it's mostly people you may have seen them around town, but you don't know, specifically know their names.
Marcy will try to make a point to, if a spot's available near Clementine, she's going to try to maneuver over there and sit near her.
Yeah, Clementine pats the seat next to her. She says, "Oh, well, glad you decided to join us." And Luna heads up front, and she, goes through a few, like, intro statement, just like, "Hey, just a reminder of what we did last quarter. You know, this is the book that we're all reading. Any updates?" And it's like some personal life stuff. Like Lila Carter mentions that like there's a handful of events happening at the library that you recognize because you run the library calendar. She mentions that she needs some help like prepping for some of their Halloween stuff that's coming up in a little bit. And there's a little talk about, planning the library Halloween party. I think it's almost disarmingly, normal. I don't know if any of you have been to, a community meeting or, a PTA meeting mm-hmm. where it's just like, here's the quarterly stuff and here's what we're
going
to do.
We're going over the minutes, expenditures.
Yeah. Shockingly mundane. And it goes on for about, 15 minutes of that, and then it sort of opens into the book club part where people talk about, themes that they liked from whatever book they were reading. I mean, it's a good, half-hour discussion. And then sort of as it winds up, Luna pulls out some, refreshments and, little finger sandwiches or, little cakes or... honestly, it's just, almost like British high tea type stuff. But she sets it out on one of the tables and people grab some and talk and mingle. I don't know. Is there any specific conversation you want to have? Or
I think, yeah, as she's passing out the snacks and making sure everyone's got a drink or refreshment, she'll pull her over to the side for a second if she can and be like, "Okay, Luna, when does the meeting," and then makes pointed eye contact, "start?"
She's like, "Marcy, this is almost everything, right? Honestly, it's only me and a couple other people who are really interested in some more of the magic type stuff."
Marcy leans in. "I almost got killed by a ghost. Right. Not once.
Listen, just
not twice. Three times.
Just stick around for a few more minutes. People will filter out and we will all have a little more discussion with a handful of, the more serious ones, okay? But Marcy, I think this is just good for you as well, right?"
She goes from her standoffish pose and kind of leaning in a little too far, where she leans back and kind of doesn't roll her eyes where it seems like she's about to, but then she's like, Okay. Okay. I don't think you're wrong. Maybe I do need this. I don't know. I know I've been through a traumatic event, and talking and having a sense of normalcy is very important for people who go through that. I don't know. But I am glad that the offer is here, and I will take you up on both fronts.
And as the people begin to filter out, say goodbyes, you have a handful of people who, you know, come up to introduce themselves. One of them is I think, would catch your ear. She'd say, "Oh, Marcy, so glad to have you here. I've heard so much about you. I'm Brittany Babineau. You know my husband."
Her eyes go wide,
and she's like, glad you could be here. I get to choose the book for the next quarter. So if you have any input, let me know. I'll take a new account.
What are you into? Or does that matter here? Is it just kind of like a general, like, just pick whatever's fun type thing? Is there a list where I can see what y'all have already gone through?
She's like, yeah, you can check the, she pulls like a little flyer. She's like, yeah, you can see the past like few that we've done. It's like mostly, you know, fiction.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if you know, I don't know about the titles, right? I'm not going to make up some titles right off the spot, but it's like, looks like sort of some thriller, you know, crime thriller, some like a little more romance type of things. It's a smattering of mostly fiction. There's like one or two like nonfiction that are sort of like maybe self-help type books.
So y'all aren't out here reading Jane Eyre?
Oh, we could do Jane Eyre. I haven't read that in a long time. I would maybe do for a reread.
All right. I was just wondering. Okay.
I'm a bigger fan of Persuasion, but you know.
I mean, we need a break from reality every once in a while.
Absolutely. That's why we're here, right? When you say break from reality, for a moment in the back of your head, there's just a little voice that says,
"Why are you here?"
At that, she just kind of like holds her gaze for a moment and is just like, "I have to use the bathroom," and just dips.
Okay. And Brittany walks away, and after a few minutes, after everyone's filtered out, Luna comes and finds you. And
hey, Luna, after this meeting, can I ask you a couple things about something else that's going on? It's kind of weird.
Sure. That's cool. And it's actually you, Luna, and Clementine who have showed up. She's like, yeah. The other women who come had to run, they do want to get more involved with some of your, you know, instruction and training, if that's something you're interested in. I don't know if you know this, but she looks at both Clementine and you, and she's like, Joel actually came in for a little bit of training, so I gave him a little book that he can study to improve his, you know, techniques and that sort of stuff. But I just want to know sort of what do you know about the magical arts? Do you know anything?
I opened a box and I was transported somewhere else, and I found a map with strange esoteric symbols all over it that haunts some of my waking moments, but other times I'm haunted by some other weird images that I can describe for you if you need. We fought a ghost. Points at Clementine. She has some stories also about that, if you want. I want to not be caught off guard by this again. First time it happened to me, not like being like conned by ghosts, but caught off guard. I took like self-defense courses and bought a shitty gun. It was cheap, but it helps me feel safer. I have pepper spray, a stun gun. I don't like not being prepared, if that makes sense.
I completely understand.
Okay.
Now, I will be honest and upfront. Part of the magic with a K practice is about understanding what you can and can't control and being willing to let go of control sometimes. But there are reasonable safeguards that you can take for delving into these sorts of things.
My main priority is just safety of myself and others. That's the main thing I care about, is making sure that I'm safe, the people around me are safe, and anything else is just frosting on a cupcake as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I think that you should learn and focus on then is contacting your Holy Guardian Angel.
I'm sorry. I thought I was... Say that one more time.
So, okay. This is basically the like foundational thing in esotericism, Western esotericism, right? It's like one of the like first rituals that people learn. I don't know. You're familiar with the principle of like guardian angels, that phenomenon?
I mean, I know when I was born, I was someone in my family, or I forget exactly who. I think it might have been my uncle, honestly, was set to be my guardian. I don't know. That's a different thing, right? That, yeah, you're with the esotericism. No, I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit different, but in a way similar, right? When you begin any sort of magical practice, it's good to just invoke your Holy Guardian Angel, just as a way of putting up a sort of protection against negative influences and other things that might distract you or, you know, potentially hurt you while you're doing these things. I do have a question for you. We can get into that a little bit more. I'm sorry. What did you say about the chest that sent you somewhere else?
Well, I mean, as you teach me, I can tell you more about that stuff. It was just stuff that we found elsewhere. As you give me information, I'll happily give you more. Fair trade.
I suppose
she grins a little bit too much.
I suppose that's true. Let me grab a little book for you. And she grabs a little book, and it's called Magic in Theory and Practice, and its author is Aleister Crowley.
I'm about to lose my shit if it said Luna.
And I'm actually like, I'm not sure. I know Crowley has something about this, but I assume that Magic in Theory and Practice has this, but I don't know if it specifically has a ritual. But in this universe, Crowley's Magic in Theory and Practice does have the ritual for invoking your Holy Guardian Angel. Which is a real, like, spell that people do in, like, real life now. So, as she does this, I'm going to go ahead and give you 1d6 unnatural.
There is actually something about the Holy Guardian Angel in it.
Okay, good. Good to know. I thought there was, but I couldn't remember specifically.
So, do you want me to roll the d6?
Yeah.
4. Okay, reasonable.
So you knock 4 off your max, and you have the ability to roll that now. Mark, I realize we didn't roll that for you. I meant to do that, though. So, go ahead and give yourself a d6 of unnatural.
I got 3 of unnatural.
All right, so we have 2.
Mark, you're supposed to get 4. A 6 to finish off the pattern.
I'll take a 6. I don't... That's fine.
No, that's nope. Actually... Actually, if you think about it, if he had rolled in the correct proper order, we'd have 2, 3, 4, which is the, you know,
yeah,
exact order that I wanted it to be. That's how I planned it from the beginning. And with that, we're gonna wrap it up for this session. So I don't know when the Phantom Finders are gonna get back together. Guess we'll find out next time. Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. This is a Delta Green actual play. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. It's my favorite role-playing system. So thank you to those guys, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please make sure that you go rate and review us on iTunes or your podcast app of choice. I know Google Podcasts is wrapping up here soon, so... R.I.P. We are going to start putting these out to YouTube as well, so make sure you go check our check the link in the show notes and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube for when that happens. Every little bit helps, guys. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting. Make sure you email us once you've done your review, and if you give us an NPC name, we'll happily incorporate them. We are going to have more characters join us in Care 4, so thank you for listening, and thank you to Pawns or Kings for Cositus. That's our theme song, and let's listen to the rest of it now. My hands are frozen in the snow. The eyes of corpses have no glow. Made these chains just for myself. Rambling about my mental health. Demons on this hazy hill. Only my soul is left to kill. Can you lead me past the sickness and the bind? Faces with no smile. Where can I run? Where it cannot chase me down? Where is the sun? Oh God, please don't let me drown. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents season.
So is Cthulhu all right, a power?
Everyone, quiet. Everyone quiet for just a second.
Okay.
With his dick?
With his dick, which is so weird. It's like,
what?
He's got a pencil lead shoved in his penis. No,